Hey now. Welcome in, y'all. And guess what time it is? That's right. It is porch time. And we do have several new I ams coming up in the next few weeks. I am the one and the only Miss McKinney. And I know you guys are extremely glad of that. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to keep it rolling this morning with the return of Miss Sabrina. She's agreed to come back on the porch and do a mom episode. Please stay tuned as she talks a little bit about what it's like to not only be a mom, but a granny, a grandma. I can't remember what she says they call her, and the fun that she had with them. So please stay tuned. Thank you, Miss Sabrina, as always, for joining us where? Right here on the porch. Hey now. Thank you again for coming on the porch. I do apologize for the delay. So I invited someone else into our podcast, but I'm glad I realized it because I knew you were a punctual individual. How are you today?
Great. And yourself?
Absolutely excellent. Thank you again for coming on the porch and participating in our mommy series. So what's your resume? You have one daughter, correct?
Yes, I have one daughter.
Okay, and what does she call you?
She calls me Mama.
Mama, okay. And was it planned?
No, it was not planned.
Okay. And do you remember how you felt when you received the news of being pregnant?
Shocked, scared, confused on what was I going to do?
Understandable. And an example for me was when I found out I was in the ER with the flu. And so when he told me he couldn't give me any medicine, I was like, what good are you? What was your story like? How'd you find out?
Oh, how did I find out? It's kind of interesting because I was spotting, so I did not think I was pregnant, or I was hoping I wasn't.
Right.
Then, you know, eventually I took a test and it came back positive, and I shared the information with her father, and we were both bouncing around ideas of, we're too young to be parents. So we made the decision at the time to abort. Something I know is definitely not difficult in the era that we live in now with no choice.
Not at all.
But come to find out, when we made the decision to abort and we went to the clinic was telling me I was too far along and I would need to pay more money because I was past a certain trimester.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So you can imagine the dilemma of wanting to get rid of something, life, because no one knows what's going to come about a child. You're not really even thinking about the life. You're just thinking about the fact that you're too young. It's going to cost to raise this child. Mm-hmm. You don't know if you want to stay with this person, get married to this person, live with this person, help raise this child. But lo and behold, this is what God's plan was.
Mm.
And he didn't fight it after he couldn't come up with his half. I had my half. I was ready to go. But I thank God that he didn't have his half. Because yes, now I have a 28-year-old beautiful daughter. She's married and she has blessed me with two grandbabies. And all I could say is, by the grace of God, I had faith when I didn't want to have faith. But sometimes God will put you in a place for him to show you what blessings that are in store for not only you for obeying, but for the child that I brought into this life.
Oh my gosh, that is so beautiful and so true. I understand the trauma of finding out young and not really knowing what you're going to do with your own self, let alone another life. But that's the way you put that was absolutely beautiful. So do you have any birth stories? Or I'm sorry, was there more to that part of the story?
No, I do have a birth story. It's so interesting that when I was pregnant, I was still in, because I think if people follow the last podcast where I was on, I kind of talked about being pregnant in high school, summer session. Mm-hmm. At the time, we weren't in summer session. We was in real school. And I was living at home. And I don't know how my mom decided that I needed to go over to my grandmother's house. I just remember waking up in the morning, getting ready to do my regular routine, get dressed, and go to school because I was in homebound classes. I just knew that I just needed to go to the restroom. And my mother said, well, okay, well, you know, after you get dressed, I'm going to drop you off at your grandmother's house. And I'm just like, well, I'm fine. Everything's good. So as soon as I went over to my grandmother's house, because at the time, if I'm going on the projections of the doctor at the clinic, I'm not due to have her until early or mid-September, really mostly probably mid-September. So I'm not thinking that, okay, I'm fixing to have this child because this is August the 26th. She shouldn't hit until probably the second week or third week of September. So I go over to my grandmother's house and all I do is go straight to the restroom. And I tell you, I sat on the toilet for probably 5 minutes and all I could hear her do is knock on the door and say, come on, let's go.
Why?
And she took me to the hospital. I'm still like, yeah, I'm still not thinking I'm in labor. I'm still not thinking anything's wrong. I'm just wondering why is this old woman we call a big mama is telling me it's time to go. Lo and behold, I get there at 8:15 and by 12:14, Andrea arrived.
Oh, wow. So how did she know you needed to go to the hospital? Just because you had to go to the bathroom?
I believe so. It's that old woman's intuition.
That is awesome. So what was your birth like? Easy?
Oh, my goodness. It's easy. And I tell my daughter, you know, excuse my language for folks, but I'm sure people have heard this before. It's better than orgasm. When she came out.
Yes, I imagine that. So you had a natural birth?
Had a natural birth.
And how long were you in labor? Doesn't sound like very long. It seems like y'all were ahead of the game.
Yes, not long at all. I believe probably all together, getting there and getting changed. Because I was there to even get an epidural. So I would say probably 4 hours.
Wow. And I loved my epidural. I was very happy when I received it. So you've had the baby. Do you have any stories you want to share about that particular day other than the intuition of greatness, obviously?
I know. I just thought it was beautiful that my family, you know, everybody that was either off on that day or didn't have to go to work till late, they were all lined up on the side of the door of my room waiting to get in. And the funniest thing is as people were walking in because they were like, okay, she's good. I'm literally getting sewn up and I'm like, okay, everybody's walking in here while I'm getting sewn up. So I was just like, gross. But one of the interesting things is the person that rocked her to sleep was her grandfather on her dad's side. That's one of the images that I can remember that made a great impression on me. Because we were looking for her dad, and he was going to Grayson County College at the time. So he wasn't there for the birth, but after she was born, her grandfather was there.
Absolutely wonderful. And one question I forgot to ask is, how did you tell, you're backing up a little bit, how did you tell your parents that you were pregnant?
Well, I definitely told my mother I was pregnant initially at the start, because okay. we had a discussion on what I was going to do okay. with the child. My dad, I was extremely scared. and I think someone else let him know before I did.
Oh.
So I still had to come clean to him.
So he already knew when you went to tell. I bet that made it a little bit easier, though. He already knew. He had already gotten out whatever he might have said if he didn't know at first. So maybe that, too, was part of God's plan, you think?
Yeah, it probably was.
So we've had this beautiful baby girl, and everyone has come to visit you and whatnot. How long were you in the hospital?
The regular, what, at the time, is what, 3 days?
Three days.
Yeah.
Awesome sauce. And then, so now you brought the baby home. Did you breastfeed? I did not. I was too chicken.
You know, to breastfeed. If I had it to do again, I would have. But going to the clinic, the nurses there all, you know, if you're low income, they're gonna push what product? The products that they know that you can get for free. So they're pushing those, you know, Similac and whatnot. So they didn't encourage breastfeed. If anything, they encourage me to use the formula. Mm-hmm. They kept saying, well, you're young and you're in school and you're active and it's going to be difficult for you to try to breastfeed and right. go to school. So, but if I had it to do over again, I would have breastfed, because I can see with my two grandsons, my daughter was able to breastfeed both of her boys. There's so much of a health benefit.
Mm-hmm. For me, I wasn't able to do it. When she came in the room and asked me if I wanted to try, I was like, I don't know if you know it or not, but I just had a baby. So I'm going to enjoy the rest of this drip, right? And, you know, you can bring him by, whatnot. I think the medicine did a number on me the first time. That's what I'm going to blame it on. Because I literally woke up the next day and sat up in the middle of the bed and thought, I had a baby. Where is it? And I go down the hall to look for him, and they're like, well, you can't have him. It's the middle of the night. And I was like, oh, okay. So drugs, the drugs they give you for the cesarean was good stuff. It was absolutely good stuff. So you've had this baby, and you were in the hospital for 3 days, and now you've come home. I'm living with mom, yes?
For the first 3 weeks, I was living with my grandmother.
I would have gone back to the intuition too, because she was, she sounds like she's on the money.
So they had, my grandmother has literally two guest rooms. So they put me in one of the guest rooms. And one of the interesting things is I didn't have a bassinet, but my baby cousin, she had a makeshift wooden bassinet for her dolls, and all they did was fitted that for my baby.
Awesome. You know what, I used the clothes basket, like the ones that you carry with your handle, right? And put a pillow in it and built, actually my mom did it for me. I never would have thought of it. He would have been in the bed with me, but she did that for us. So again, going back to the intuition, they helped us out a long way. So you stayed there for 3 weeks. What was it like during the night? Did you even have to do anything? Because it sounds couldn't have gotten spoiled.
You know what? I stayed, I think, probably a total of six. I can't recall lifting a finger. I think my grandmother just enjoyed being able to see another little life.
Of course. And it's her grandbaby's baby, so that makes it all the more special.
Yes.
And so what were some of the things that came natural to you for being a mama?
What came natural is the desire to train up a child. I have, for the early part of my life, I feel like I had a good upbringing due to having a stepdad that was very disciplinarian, very structured. So one of the things I definitely wanted to pride myself in is, as being her mother, I wanted to train up. I wanted to be able to look back and reflect on the tutelage that I gave her as a child.
That's really deep. And so did you have a thought process on how that was going to go, or it was a natural intuition?
Not a clue. Other than knowing, just like I said, my stepfather was in my life until I was in the fifth grade. Once he exited out of my life and I had this child so many years later, I just felt like I was just going to experiment. Because I didn't actually have good examples or evidence of how to be a great mother or how to be a great parent in the idea that I wanted. I mean, you know, we can watch TV and see the Huxtables, or we can Family Matters and whatnot. I mean, you know, we're gleaming all this, not to say that we don't have some similarities of this in our own home, but to be taught how to train up a person so that they have within their own wheelhouse something that will carry them forward. And I wanted it to be based in God's word at a certain point in her raising. But no, it was a little bit of just intuition, but the most part is me having a desire to want a better future for her as well as myself.
That's beautiful. And I think every parent, at least I feel like that should be a natural intuition to want your child to be better than you. And if you're pushing, and you're certainly a pusher, but if we're pushing ourselves, then I hope that they see that. And I think they have. My son is 21 now, so I think he's seen the struggle, the things that I've done. And I feel like they watched us enough doing our natural things to know how to do things. But you said you wanted to bring the Bible into it. So what did you guys do? Well, you wanted to do it God's way. So I'm sure you prayed and consulted him for guidance as much as possible. For me, sometimes it was in the moment, Lord, help me.
Oh, yes. Well, like I said, I just, you know how you just have you pray that you can have a desire to want more or to want past what you can see. Mm-hmm. And I've always had a desire, but I never had the motivation or the unction to want to change my lifestyle. And I can tell you, I was in Sherman, Texas, when my daughter was 5 years old. It was a Juneteenth celebration when we're all on the basketball court and we're all dancing and have a good time. And mind you, she's 5 years old and I'm seeing her do the Tootsie Roll. I said, oh my goodness.
That's it.
So that was my motivation. That was my unction to say, I want to change my life for a better future for myself. And I started actively seeking God more, attending church, trying to get around the right people so they could show me how to be a better me, so they could show me how to be a better mother, how to be a better sister, how to be a better daughter, how to be a better friend. And I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. I wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect now. But if I had to do over again, I would gladly do it over again and do it more to the glory of God.
Awesome. Oh my gosh, you have such a sweetheart. And so what have some of your challenges been? For me, I think it was being a teen, because I am a loner. I enjoy my own company, but, you know, not so much probably if you're a teen boy. Well, my son is a teen boy and he really enjoyed his friends. And that was so aggravating for me. That was when I think our challenges started. What about you?
Challenges started?
If any.
My biggest challenge was, when I was raising her, I was seeing so many news reports of women being sexually abused, or women being, their children being sexually abused by men that they brought into the home, that I was very fearful. I did not want to expose myself, and I was definitely scared to be able to expose my daughter. So I tried to date cautiously. But I could say that was on the forefront of my mind, because I have a female child and I'm trying to raise her up to see herself in the light of Christ and not be any way, shape, or form feel damaged or be damaged. Because as women, as girl children, we see a lot and we take in a lot. And some things shapes who we are. Some things shape our sexuality. Some things shape what we think of motherhood is. And we, you know, as a mother, I wanted my daughter to be able to speak back to me that she was cared for, she had protection, she had love, and she had someone that was looking forward to what she may be in the future.
Yes. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. So the challenge for you was, I guess, the confliction of dating. That's what you're saying?
To some extent. Trying to make sure that I did not bring in anything in the home that would be a hindrance. You know, when I turned my life over to Christ and was trying to live for him at 100 to nothing, he drops things in your spirit to kind of make you aware of what's to come, who he wants you to be. And sometimes that can be a challenge, because this is not mainstream. You know, I got laughed at, ridiculed. Sometimes she got laughed at and ridiculed. But how do you shield? So that was a challenge within itself, because, you know, family members would look at me like, okay, why aren't you letting your daughter do this? And why aren't you letting your daughter do that? And I'm just like, I want to build a firm foundation, so when she's not around me, she knows what to do, how to do it. And if she's ever having a problem, she knows how to seek out God for the answer.
Yes, I love that. That is, I think I've always taught that a little bit along the way, but I'm really pounding it in right now. Like, I know you love me and you lean toward me. And I love it, you know, that he's 21 and he still does lean toward me for advice, sort of, you know, whatnot. But just reminding him that ultimately God is going to be the one that's going to get him through, because I'm not going to always be here. I hate to be, you know, one of those mothers to start preparing him for death. And I don't use those verbiages. But just like you said, I want him to learn that he can lean on God. And that's where his direction and guidance, and all that good stuff can come from. And that's the best option. And it takes a lot as a mother to give that up. Whoa. To be able to say, you know what, baby, I love you and I'll do anything for you, but there's something greater that can do more for you and that loves you more than even I. And I don't know that every mother could do that. I really don't. Because there are a lot of mothers who want, you know, of course, I don't think it's specific to our culture, but it's definitely strong in our culture, you know, teaching you that, you know, it's family always, regardless of whether it's toxic or not, even when it is a parent-child relationship. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that. That was absolutely awesome. Any more challenges?
The challenge, because I don't think you ever grow out of being a parent. Over the holidays, over the holidays, it was like 21 days living with her. And I tell you, there were a couple of tips and tacks. My son-in-law asked me, he's like, did you enjoy your trip, when he's dropped me off at the airport? And I was just like, you all worked the heck out of me this time around.
Okay.
And I said, the next time around, I'm coming with my bill.
And everybody give whoopings. Yeah,
and it's not for the kids. It's not for the grandkids. It's for the adults. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Goodness. Y'all heard it. And it has been but the memory is here to be played over and over again. Y'all better get it together.
I know.
Get it together.
They're wonderful. But it's, you know, it's sometimes going back to the foundation of mm-hmm. what you know you need to do to maintain structure for yourself, structure for your kids, structure for your business, structure for your career. And we all need structure in the life. If we didn't have it, we'd be all over the place. So that's kind of been my challenge as a parent now, is just trying to remind my daughter, you know, we are both successful in the things that we put our energies to, and it's all mm-hmm. due to having structure, having a schedule, and maintaining that. But you have to utilize those same precepts in every area of your life.
Yes, ma'am. So I wanted to back up and touch on something real quick. You said that there were people that made fun of you guys. Are you saying that because you were a single mother, or because you were so strict? Because I'm picking up different vibes.
Yes, yes. So I was so strict. There was even a time where I was like, okay, no more secular music.
Yeah. Okay.
Or what was it? The one thing I could not do is get her to not wear pants, which was the hardest thing to do. But I went through a season of no secular music, no pants. And you know what? I needed that, because I needed to start seeing my femininity. And it's not that I couldn't have gotten it in pants, but sometimes you need to go through some type of struggle or some type of discipline, or to kind of see yourself differently than you think the world sees you.
Right. Okay. And I can appreciate that, because anyone who knows me knows that I am a very strict parent. It wasn't that I was very strict. It wasn't like he was, you know, a hellion and I needed to be very strict on him. It's just that, like you said, I could see, I felt like I had received my guidance And some of the things that the kids were doing around him, he didn't need to be doing, or I didn't feel like he was strong enough to be around. And again, that was during the teen years, and that created a huge challenge for us. And again, with the adult children, I agree. But you know what? I am teaching myself to step back, and it's okay. I'm asking God to, number one, let me have it if he truly needs it. But, you know, let him reach out to me when he, you know, always. Not just for, you know, money if he needs it, which he rarely does. You hear me, Laj? I said that. But just, you know, reaching out to me and making sure the relationship is as strong as it can be, because not only was I strict, but, you know, maybe I didn't teach some of the things that I, you know, should have. So we're definitely rehashing that and making it stronger. And I'm learning still as we go along. So I'm glad to hear you say that on the other side of that, you're there with the grandbabies and they're working you like a mule over the holidays. Gives me something to look forward to. So what would you like to tell all of the mamas from the porch? I don't know if you want to tell young mamas or all mamas, but what is your message to moms and maybe even dads from the porch?
Well, from the porch, let's go with moms that children are out of the home, 18. If you don't already know, let me let you know, you'll still be parenting until the grave. To the young moms, if you do the work now,
yeah,
you not only, but your child will reap the benefits later.
Yes. Yes. Agree. Very agreed. I am definitely glad that I took the avenue I did. Again, I said I could have been stronger, but I'm glad I did. And I'm glad that you just said that. That gave me inspiration. Thank you. So tell us what's going on with E4 Productions. Any new projects you want to tell us about?
Any new projects? Well, like I said, they had me working like a mule. my son-in-law, he's into athletic training, so I always come prepared with my camera equipment, and I enjoyed the fact that I could have, you know, took my equipment out. So right now I'm in the process of getting his training video up, and yes, I'm fixing to start seeking out businesses in that particular genre.
Sports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sports. He just brags about his mother-in-law at will whenever I hand him over raw footage, whether it's video or whether it's pictures from the training session, and he's just enamored with it and lets me know that the clients are also enamored with it. So, you know, it's a joy to see your gifts and talents being able to be used to help someone else's company grow.
Yes. And I don't know about now, because my son's been out of school for about 3 years now, out of high school. But I know that there was a big need for a big business genre, however you want to say it, for individuals wanting to do their own highlight videos. You know, making sure that whoever put it together made sure that it was just right for them. So that might be something interesting too. I thought about once.
You might need to do that.
Well, maybe.
Miss Photographer. Maybe.
Keep inspiring me. Keep inspiring me.
Well, that's what that's what we're here for, to be light to one another.
Yes. Absolutely. And I do appreciate you. You are an awesome individual. I am just now really coming to get to know you, but the things that you say are so inspirational. The things that you say are so inspiring, and really and truly, you do have a sweetheart, very sweetheart.
Thank you.
So thank you so much again for joining us on the porch. Any more last words? Any more hoorahs? Because remember, your great, great, great grandbabies will get to hear this.
Amen to that. I just want to say thank you for continuing on with your passion and giving everyone else voice on your platform.
Yes, ma'am. We all have something to say. I think we just need to figure out the best way and the best platform to say it on.
Amen.
All righty. Well, sweet dreams to you and yours, and we will catch you next time on the porch.
Awesome.
Bye-bye. As always, I'm so very excited to always share moms on the porch, and I'm so grateful for each and every one of you moms who have been on the porch with us. If you've not had a chance to listen to every episode, then binge watch me or binge listen, just like you would Law and Order SVU. Thank you guys so very, very much for tuning in again. Thank you, Miss Sabrina, for joining us on the porch. I know we'll have many interesting topics coming up, and you are always a go-to. Thank you again, guys, for listening, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the porch. Take care.